8 years ago, the newly elected Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and his fellow Republicans were pushing the Contract with America, an ambitious roadmap for welfare reform, tax cuts, and a balanced budget. 4 years later, Gingrich was neither Speaker nor a member of Congress. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg concludes her Tuesday series on power with a conversation on life after power.
By the time he left Congress, Newt Gingrich was one of the most despised men in the world of politics. Quite a plunge from the heady days when he was everywhere all the time, pushing legislation, dominating headlines. Driven by what critics said was ego and ambition, Gingrich was locked in virulent clashes with the Clinton White House. Late in 1995, he let the government shut down rather than negotiate on the budget. A coup within the Republican House leadership almost deposed Gingrich in 1997, and when Republicans unexpectedly lost seats in the 1998 midterm elections, the troops turned mutinous. Gingrich was shouldered out of the speakership and ended his 20-year career in Congress. These days, Newt Gingrich does consulting and is an analyst for the Fox News Channel.
First of all, I'm an Army brat, and you have to come from a background of seeing change of command ceremonies. You know, power was on loan. I mean, the morning I became Speaker, I went out on the balcony and looked down the mall, and I thought power had been loaned to an Army brat from Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, by way of Fort Benning, Georgia. And I always said, this office is on loan, this balcony is on loan, and it's an important key to being American. The political power in America is a function of being loaned by the people and is never the person. It's always the position.
But that power defined you for a major portion of your life.
No, that power was a job. My job didn't define me. You'd be a much smaller person if you were defined by your job.
But it had to have been so heady every time you walked through a door and people were ecstatic to see you and the cheers of the crowds and the fear of a president.
This may be hard for a civilian to understand. I grew up in a world where generals had cars with flags on them and stars, and generals had aides and people saluted. They were folks who had a uniform, and when they ceased being a general, they got to be guys in civilian clothing who played golf. This is the Roman, not the Greek model. The Greeks thought power centered in the person. The Romans thought power centered in the institution. And I represent the founding fathers' model that we are a republic, which is a Roman model, in which the institutional frameworks are very defining. So I was thrilled to have the authority. I was thrilled to have a chance to lead. I was overwhelmed by the number of people who were supportive and who were on our side and who stayed with us through some very tough fights. But in my mind, I always assumed there'd come a morning I'd quit being Speaker. If I'd allowed the speakership to define Newt Gingrich, you know, I would have had a morning when I quit being Newt Gingrich. That struck me as absurd.
What did you notice after power in the early days?
I think the biggest surprise to me coming out of the speakership was that I spent about 5 months just being tired. I'd been running full-time from July of 93, and the ability to slow down, read a book, visit the American Museum of Natural History, no phone calls, no pressures, that was really marvelous. That was an amazing experience.
What did you notice, though, about how people treated you, reacted to you, interacted with you after power?
Remarkably the same at a personal level. I mean, partly because I stay visible. I still have, I think, 92% name ID or something, so that, you know, you walk through an airport or you walk through a mall. The difference, I think, first of all, unless you've done it, it's hard to imagine how busy you are. And so it's hard to imagine how nice it is. I have not had a single day of waking up and saying, let me swap jobs, because that was really hard. I mean, I'm honored to have done it. It was a remarkable experience, but it was really hard. And this is really not nearly as hard. I'm working on national security. I'm working on health. I feel like I'm in the middle of civic life without being in the middle of political power.
But, you know, the thing is, Mr. Gingrich, you're doing all of that, but now they can say no to you. Now
they could
can
then
say,
too.
Oh. Now they can say, no, I can't see you at 10. Let's do it 2 days later. When you were at the height of your power, they would have said, click heels, jump to. Talk about military brat, better show up for him now.
Sure. On the other hand, I didn't have the time to think very much. I was too busy doing. I was too busy executing. I was too busy implementing. There's no question. I mean, if what you value the most is the short-term immediate power of doing X, being Speaker was pretty cool. I mean, it had real limits, as even the presidency has real limits, and they should. I mean, it's part of the genius of our system is that nobody's all that powerful. But if you're trying to do big things, petty power isn't very interesting, and it doesn't matter very much. I mean, the fact that somebody brought me lunch so I could keep working isn't a big deal, or the fact that somebody would schedule a meeting on my terms isn't a big deal, if you're trying to do something historic. I'm in a period where you have influence but not power, and where you have to be respectful of why the other person lets you in the room. But the truth is, even as Speaker, you have real limits. Chairman can say no, members can say no, the Senate can say no, the Supreme Court can say no, the President can say no. So, you know, I think there's an exaggerated sense of you wave a wand and because you're powerful, things happen automatically. It's true in a very limited sense.
Mm-hmm. So best thing about life after power is the time to think. Is the worst thing about it the fact you can't turn big events on a dime anymore?
I don't know that there is a worse thing about it. I mean, you're making a presumption that I don't think I agree with. I mean, remember that I spent from 1978 to 1994, that's 16 years, to create a majority. So I'm comfortable with long-term projects. I mean, very few people understood that this was a conscious, systematic 16-year effort, both to create what we would do, which is the contract, and to create the majority you could do it with. So I sort of measure things differently than most, which is part of why I saw it as a job. I saw it the way I think Eisenhower would have seen, you know, being the commander in Europe. I mean, this is what you train for all your life. You should do it. You should do it, you know, calmly. But you also know it's going to end.
Some observer at the time, or maybe later, said Gingrich loses, was it 5 seats in the House and walks away from his job. Clinton gets impeached, wrapped in scandal, loses a lot of fights and stays.
Sure. It strikes me that you have to decide how you define yourself. I look back in a period where I helped create a majority, reformed the House, created the transparent Thomas system that's available to anyone in the world, set term limits for chairman, balanced the federal budget, reformed welfare, increased spending on defense, and had the first tax cut in 17 years. Bill Clinton survived impeachment. I'll let you decide which record you'd rather take with you.
Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House of Representatives. His latest book is Saving Lives and Saving Money about the U.S. Health System. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Previous stories in Susan's series on power are at npr.org.